Not as bad as Scrappy-Doo, but right up there. Coming up on TMS, finding your dog's enemy.
You think I have unopened stuff?
If you're gonna go, there are worse things.
Crayola says bye-bye.
Pornhub really wants to be charitable.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Geek subscribers are all at home. Men don't have to go to their jobs anymore. Women don't have to go shopping. The good old geek takes care of everything.
I don't know.
The Morning Stream.
Their milkshakes bring all the boys to the yard. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is TMS for Thursday, March 30th, 2017. I'm Scott. That's Brian.
Hello.
We have one more day, right? 31st is tomorrow?
That's right, which is great, which means that April 1st falls on a day that we usually don't spend a lot of time online. It'll be Saturday.
Yeah.
So we don't have to sit through all of the crap of like, hey, here's a little jokey joke thing in your email. I'll be looking for the Think Geek stuff because they always do it right, and the Blizzard stuff.
Yeah, the Blizzard stuff's always right. Pretty fun. I mean, you go into those knowing that all that stuff is crap, so it's not like they're right. Trying to fool you. I hate April Fool's Day. I freaking hate it. So, yeah, Saturday, that's a better day for it. We don't have to do a show that day, at least this show. We do Film Sack that day, but that's all pre-recorded off air, so no shenanigans, no tomfoolery. Nobody can call in with dumb phone calls or any of that.
Yeah, the only fools going on April Fool's Day are us for watching the movie Thinner.
Yeah, we are the fools, for sure.
We are the fools.
Yeah.
We are the ones who fool.
I've never seen Thinner, but I want to see Thinner.
Me neither.
When I was young and I'd go to a Blockbuster or some kind of mom and pop video store, there was always a Thinner there. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like, that seems scary and weird. Wonder what that is. And then I would never see it. And now it's, the forbidden fruit of a weird movie when you're a kid. And now I get to finally see it. So.
And all I know is that it's like Gypsy Curse kind of thing, isn't it?
Is it? I don't even know. Is it? Is that what it is?
It's like Stephen King dips into the most tropiest well ever, like, oh, cursed by a gypsy.
No, I had no idea that that's what that was. That's even better. Now I'm more excited. Yeah. We haven't had, as far as I know, we haven't had a single gypsy-themed movie on Film Sack.
Like a Gypsy Curse movie? No, I don't think we have.
Think about it. Have we? No. That's a trope we've never dipped our collective toes in.
I've even been cursed by a gypsy.
Yeah? What was the curse? What'd they tell you?
I don't even know what it was supposed to cause. It was supposed to cause me to buy things and not open them.
Ah,
we'll get to that.
Oh, good.
But
it worked.
That I didn't give her money when we were in. I've talked about this on the show. Tina and I were racing to get to Stonehenge. We had just finished a meal, a shepherd's pie meal in the town that you go to before you go to Stonehenge because it's right there and close.
Oh,
and
little,
then we realized there was one bus left
before
Stonehenge closed, and we had to like sprint around.
We had to run around Stonehenge.
We had to run around Stonehenge and take pictures of ourselves at the four ordinal points.
That's amazing. So, but the gypsy curse was, what did they say to you? Was it just, you're going to be late for the thing and not?
She first, pulled us aside and said, oh, are you going to Stonehenge and da, 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 and like was chatting us up. And then, she may have even offered us directions or something. She tried to offer us something that we didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we didn't take it and didn't give her any money,
then
she cursed me.
So what? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of vaguely remember you telling the story, but I forgot about the gypsy part. I'm trying to think why, if you're trying to get somebody to take something and they don't take it, it was unsolicited.
Right.
I don't think the curse should work.
No, I would think not.
That should default to not working curse. That curse should break.
You can't just fling out curses willy-nilly.
No.
You've got to be wrong, truly wronged to be able to issue a curse, I think.
Yeah, that's why you've had a pretty good life. I don't think it stuck. Whatever it was.
Maybe your curse backfired because I feel like I live a pretty decent life.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been lucky in life and love and all that stuff.
All that stuff, sure. Hey, here's a question for you.
Sure.
I got somebody. Did I ever tell you about the time that somebody on the internet was mad at me because I said the word gyp on the show? Did I ever tell you about that?
No, but I do know that whenever you say gypsy, you do try to qualify it by saying, hey, look, I know it's a bad term, but gypsy.
Well, here's why I'm sensitive to it, because at some point I had said, oh, man, what a gyp on the show. And somebody wrote in and said, that is so offensive. And I wrote back and said, to who? And they said, to gypsies. And I said, to gypsies? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. It's like saying that it's offensive for me to call somebody a shortened form of, I don't know, Roman guard or soldier. Well, what Roman guards or soldiers are pissed at me? Are there gypsies now? Are there people now that call themselves gypsies and go around totally in those carts?
Yeah, I think that it's not. I don't think the term gypsy came from the word gyp or the intention of gyp. I think it's the vice versa.
Yeah, it's the other way around, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're saying it's a gyp, you're saying it's cheap and gypsies are cheap and they're always trying to rip you off or whatever. I get the connotation, but what gypsies are offended? Like that's
exactly. And again, it wasn't even like a hey, let's call them gypsies because they rip us off or try to take our money or put curses on us.
Sure.
It's more like, oh, these are people who are gypsies. And then later on, it's like, oh my gosh, that gypsy it tried to take my money and issue a curse because I wouldn't get directions to the bus station or whatever.
So the lady that you saw at Stonehenge, was she an actual gypsy?
No, she may not have been. I mean, it's been a long time. This is 1997,
yeah,
I believe, and I'm trying to visualize what this woman looked like. Maybe her curse was that I'd forget what she looked like. But she had an accent, and I'm trying to remember if it was just a British accent or if it was a different
Hungarian or Turkish or something or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so here's some information. Ready?
All right, give me what the current
Romani,
state of...
So the Romani, R-O-M-A-N-I. Yeah. Why does that feel like I'm, well, I'm saying that wrong? But Romani know. Or modern...
that's a modern gypsy?
No. That's the term... That's the other term. It's like Inuit versus Eskimo.
Oh, got it. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
They're widely known among English-speaking people by the exonym gypsies, or gypsies with an I, which or gypsies. Maybe it's pronounced gypsies.
Gypsies, yeah. Doing it wrong it's time. Always been gypsy.
Which some people consider pejorative due to its connotations of illegality and irregularity.
Okay, but are they people that come... I guess what I... you know what's in my head, Brian, is that they're mythical people. That they don't actually exist anymore.
No, they definitely exist.
Do they exist currently in modern times?
Sure.
There are people walking around who identify as that other word or gypsies.
Yeah, I mean, it's I've always thought Europe, but a lot of these things are saying Southwestern Asia.
Yeah.
But I always connected it to like Eastern European, right?
Yeah, I
like,
did too, always. For sure. Or sometimes
and,
French.
They still have wagons that they travel around in, and they kind of, it's more like a roving, well, it's more like a roving band of people. Maybe a caravan of, yeah. But it's like, caravan of travelers and stuff like that.
Do they still read your palm and take your shit or what? What's the deal there?
I don't know. That might be where all the stereotypes came from, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like fortune telling gypsies and things like that. I think
it just seemed
it's
like
just people, you know, nomads.
It's like just like the most, it was like the most like stupidest form of internet guilt for these people though to come after me for saying, wow, that's such a gyp. Thinking A, that I have any kind of connotation toward gypsies themselves. I didn't even know it was derived from that. And second of all, what is that how busy you are? You got to sit around and look for gypsy slights? Like, come on. Yeah. Like, listen, if someone out there listening to the show is a traveling gypsy, or what's the other word? What's the name you gave me?
Romani.
Romani. If you're a traveling Romani, call in and tell me how wrong I am. It'd be totally fine. We got a call right now. Let's see if this person knows. Hi, you're on the air.
Romanis have Wi-Fi?
Yeah, no kidding. Traveling Wi-Fi. Their Wi-Fi hot... Oh, they hung up. Their Wi-Fi hot points, those carts.
That's right.
It's pretty good. You just have to tether it to your phone and you're fine. But if any of you are that and you want to call in, I'll take your call and answer. I'm happy to hear why I'm wrong in thinking that this person was overstating.
If you look it up on Wikipedia, it says gyp is a pejorative and sometimes offensive word for cheating or swindling. So it does.
It is pejorative. If I say, oh, Brian, that car you bought's a total gyp. Yeah, it's pejorative. Right. It means you got a bad deal.
Right. But here we go. Sometimes perceived as insulting to or by gypsies since it stereotypes them as swindlers. So they've connected, and maybe that is the origination of the term gyp. Looks like it is.
I'm sure it is
short for gypsy and being swindler or
like he should people should get mad if they heard me say Jap, right? Because that's definitely a pejorative shortening of Japan and has roots in wartime.
Just avoid Jip Jap all over the place.
Yeah, all
right?
the Jip Jap, Jimmy, John, all that stuff I'll just get rid of. But anyway, it just bugged me. And it's
Jip Jap, Wop, whatever. What, you know, what else we got? Like these three letter.
Dang it. I totally forgot to bring something down here I was going to make or show you. Dang it. And Kim's not here and I don't have time to go get it. Anyway. Oh.
Get it during the song. We'll do it right before Wendy. Is that cool?
Oh, we'll do that. Yeah. That's perfect. Cool. I found my dog's kryptonite, and my dog's kryptonite is this thing I was going to demonstrate, and I left it upstairs. Kim bought a chew toy that when you bite into it, have you heard these bird ones that when you push on them, they sound like screaming people? Have you heard that before? No. Here, how do I do that? There's probably a video so I can kind of give you an idea. Screaming squeeze toy.
Okay.
Here it is. Okay, this has got to be it. Yeah, it's like a turkey or a chicken. Here's a bunch of them. Looks like they're geese or chicken. Okay. All right, that's it. Have you heard that before?
No. Is it made by air escaping it, or is there like a little speaker and a button or something in there?
It comes air. So there's like a weird reed thing in its mouth that converts the outgoing air to sound like that horrible sound you heard. Here it is. I mean, it's really horrifying, right?
Right.
So we give Rainer this dog, and she bites into it and lets go, and it goes, brrr, and I've never seen a dog run faster or seen her rear legs carry forward in a way that, I mean, it was like a cartoon. She was just like, yip, 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 and ran away, and now she won't go anywhere in the house she thinks that bird is. She's completely terrified by it. And I wanted to play it. I guess I just played it because it's the video, and the video is the same sound. But
you were going to make her grab it again or something.
Yeah, I was going to do it. Either that or just show everybody how loud it is on the show.
Yeah.
But, I got it. It hung up. I was going to see if we had another potential gypsy calling. Whoops, get rid of that. Okay, let's see who this is. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello?
Hi, this is Zach.
Oh, hi, Zach. Hi, Zach. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. We're doing great. What's your what you calling about? What you got?
I got something about gypsies.
Okay, give me some gypsy. Okay. Give me some beef about gypsies. What do you got there?
Well, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure gypsies are a real thing. I have friends from Hungary who have had problems with them. Apparently, they are pretty ruthless criminals in that neck of the woods.
So are you saying to me, because this is interesting, are you saying that the reputation for the criminality part of things is deserved, meaning in Eastern Europe or other places around the world where people might find quote-unquote gypsies, they are up to no good? Is that what you're saying?
I believe so. I mean, I don't think they're roving around selling gems out of caravans, but as far as I know, they're killing cops and old ladies and stuff out in Hungary. Oh, I have buddies who have had to flee the country because of them.
Oh my gosh, Brian, you have Hungarian.
I'm half Hungarian, so I need to do is maybe hit up my Hungarian grandmother and get some
juicy juice on that. Thanks, Zach. That's some good insight. I knew we'd get somebody who knew something about something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and this isn't me going, I feel vindicated. They're a bunch of criminals. That's not my point. My point was, should anyone be offended by what I said and knowing what I said? Like, sometimes people want to assign meaning to what you said or assign intent. And I mean nothing by it when I say it. I just mean something's expensive or a ripoff.
And it could just be that this batch, there's a bad batch of gypsies in Hungary. I mean, there's, you know, we've got bad batches of people that are generally good everywhere. So they're poorly representing the gypsy name.
You tiptoed around not saying any other examples very deftly.
I'm certainly not, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm impressed. I probably would have goofed and said something dumb like, I don't know, like I already have today. Anyway, so Brian, I got a question for you.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So Brian likes to, you know, Like this copy of I'm not worried about.
Have Resident Evil still wrapped in plastic.
Wrapped in plastic. You've got multiple games, toys, things, cool things that you would get because it made sense to get it when you got it. And oftentimes it was usually a
great deal, right? It was mm-hmm. like a. The reason I have Resident Evil is because Amazon had a discount price. I'm like, oh, I know I'm eventually going to want to play that, going to buy it,
right.
And have not had a chance to yet. You know why? Tina's always watching TV.
Yeah, the TV.
It's Tina, need, man. It's need, like, yeah. I want to go upstairs. That's where the PlayStation is. That's where the PSVR is. Mm-hmm. But it's like Bravo is always on.
Yeah, she's
Real Housewives.
Yeah, she's got her programs, man. She's got to find out who's sleeping with who and why that exactly. hair's bad or whatever. Like that stuff has
By the
to
way,
happen. Yeah.
Every episode of Real Housewives.
Yeah, garbage.
Centers around. Whatever number of them there are, there's like eight of them.
Yeah.
These horrible, horrible women.
Yeah.
And all gathered around a table at some fancy restaurant, arguing about who disrespected whom the last time they were all together at a fancy restaurant.
Yeah. It's all.
And demanding an apology. And they work it out, but something happens and it's going to be fodder for the next fancy dinner at another restaurant next week.
Yeah. I wouldn't tell Tina what I'm about to tell you, but I have some insight on Real Housewives. So we had on Current Geek a editor from that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he spent years editing for them, for Pawn Stars, and for one of the reality show. I can't remember which one it was. But
oh, my God. All right. I'm fascinated already.
Yeah. Three big ones like that. And I asked him point blank on the show. I said, how much of that stuff is real and how much of it is amplified or tweaked? Mm-hmm. Or
by editing. And right. Sure.
And he says, you want to know the whole truth? I said, yeah. And he says... Everything on that show is fabricated. All of it. He says none of those conflicts are real.
Right.
None of that stuff ever happens. All of it is fake. And most of it happens either in the editing bay or before a scene happens. They sit down with these women and say, all right, we need a conflict today. Why don't you complain about her dumb hair or whatever?
If you want to go to this nice restaurant, one of these is going to have to come up with a conflict. Come on. We don't have all day.
Yep. It's fine. It's like finding out. Don't tell Tina. It's like finding out Santa Claus isn't real.
Are you kidding? If we find this out, I might be able to play Resident Evil on the PSVR. Although I'll say this, as horrifying as Resident Evil might be,
yeah.
It probably has nothing on those damn Real Housewives.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like you're going to have a far less horrible experience with a VR headset on and everything. Watching, you know, Blood and Carnage than you are watching one of those shows. So,
holy Toledo.
Anyway, yeah. That was fun insight. That guy was great, and he should come back and be a guest again.
So he didn't say that during Current Geek, on the show.
No, he said it on air because he is no longer contracted with any of the shows he was doing.
I'm getting that episode. When we're done here, you find me that episode, I'm playing it for
Tina. I will. Yeah, if it was just off air, that'd be, you know, one thing. Sure. But he actually said it out loud. And he said Pawn Stars, just utter garbage. People show up with something dumb and they'll say, oh, this would be funny. Yeah, you come in. You can come in and try and talk to
that. Oh, yeah, and that I kind of suspected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all that stuff's BS. Whatever. Reality shows, they're barely. I asked him who the ones.
Oh, now no blanket statements. I think Survivor is still like, you know, they do amplify the drama and say, oh, this person's going to be our villain. Let's do everything we can to make him our villain. But I mean, these people are still out there freaking eating grub worms and.
Yeah.
And rubbing 2 sticks together to make fire.
He wasn't specific, but he did sort of indicate that the competition-based ones like that, where there's a lot of physical stuff, that those, generally speaking, are less tinkered with.
Sure.
But the relationship-y shit and like the...
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Bachelor and all that crap, it's all staged, all phony.
I eat everything on Bravo.
Yeah, Bravo the channel. Like, Bravo's the worst name for that channel. It should be Boo. They should call it Boo Channel. The Boo.
Boo Bravo.
Boo Bravo Channel. Boo.
All right. Okay. So we veered off course from the unopened things on the shelf.
Yeah. So here's the deal. You think Brian keeps things unopened for a long time? Check this out. 124-year-old never worn Levi's pants found in an Arizona cedar chest. 124 years old.
That's awesome. They never worn.
Nope. They look like brand new jeans, but Jock Taylor, great name.
Yeah.
Knew those Levi's sat in an old family trunk for decades, maybe a century, judging from their size. The waist is a 44, length 37. Those would fit me when I was at my fattest. They're too loose now.
Boy, I think I'm happy to say that those would actually still be baggy on me and way short.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, who? It's like a Patton Oswalt pants or something. These are weird.
Yeah, they're I don't know. There's people in our listening audience that would fit, and let's not disparage any. We're not Levi shaming.
No, it's bad. We don't want to do that. Shaming. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Also, by the way, this is funny. That brings something up. Something I said last night on a show I probably shouldn't have said. But if you follow the Heroes of the Storm world at all, you know that one of the best casters for that and does a lot of work for Blizzard is Gillyweed. She is awesome. She does really incredible commentary. And her play-by-play is amazing, and she really knows the game, and she's great. And met her last year at BlizzCon, but when I met her, it was striking to me because when in the broadcast they have them behind a counter thing or a desk, commentary desk, and she looks about the same height as everybody there. Mm-hmm. So I never thought about it. I think they put her on some sort of pedestal because when I saw her at BlizzCon, she is a tiny fairy-like creature that looks like she just came in from a fantasy movie and said hello, like
wood elf,
so little, yeah, a little tiny wood elf. And I made the comment last night on the show that she can get into air vents really easy, or some stupid comment like that. And now I've got people all up in my business about talking about how small she is. So I have a tendency to do this. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think she's adorable and wonderful, and I really like her, and I hope never anything bad ever happens to her. But you know, sometimes I notice things, and I have to talk about them, like pants. Anyway, right. So here's the deal. They belong to what they believe to be her great-grandfather, Solomon Warner, an Arizona pioneer from the late 1800s. They're worth a small fortune. A dealer in old jeans actually searches for abandoned mines for this kind of inventory. They say finding Levi's pre-1900 is massive rarity.
Hold on a sec. So wait. This guy's looking for old jeans, and he just looks at abandoned mines because miners would just walk in there, take their pants off, and walk out?
Well, maybe, or maybe they just have extra pants down there or something
One
of them gets torn up and you got to change or something. I don't know.
James, looks like you pooped your pants again. Here's a spare pair of Levi's for you.
Ah, thank you, Solomon. I'll put these on.
We'll leave this soiled pair here in case someone 50 years from now decides they want it as a collector's item.
But weren't they like, Levi Strauss was made I don't remember the story, but the reason they were made in the first place, or denim was so popular, is because it was great for the miners and the heavy workers and all that stuff. So
it's good protective fabric that's cheap and
So anyway, they're going to fetch a bunch of money. They didn't say exactly how much they think it's worth, but a lot. The 6-foot Warner left his upstate New York home and headed into the West in the 1830s. He was the first to sell American goods in Tucson. The Butterfield stage came through with that, whatever you wanted. And if you had to buy something, you had to buy it from Solomon Warner.
That's a great name too.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Solomon Warner.
Anyway, so Brian, I guess what I'm saying is don't feel bad.
Okay. I don't.
Don't feel bad about how old your shit is that hasn't been opened.
I did finally, I put that Bloodstone James Bond PS3 video game on Amazon Marketplace and got, you know, I think $10 for it or something.
Oh my gosh. Did you pay full price though when it was new?
No, I bought it because it was cheap and it was like, oh, James Bond game? Sure. It's cheap. I'm sure I'll play this, and never did.
Never did play it? That's great.
Never did.
I have a game called Singularity for the PS3 that I never played, but I think it's the only game I've never played that I bought, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're great at getting to games, and not just getting to them, but like playing them and getting through them and talking about them on the show and stuff.
Yeah.
So
I don't always finish, but I get pretty deep, I suppose. I'm actually really behind in front. Oh, shit. That was a bad one.
That might have been one of my favorites.
That was really bad. It didn't even occur to me as I was saying it. That is so bad on all the fronts. All right, TMS Film Festival winner, the 32nd Film Festival for March will be announced today on the TMS PM episode of the show. So we will gather our winner today between now and 3:30 PM Mountain, and we will announce the winner there. We still I haven't looked at them all. Have you? Have you seen them all?
I have. I watched them this morning, and I've got two contenders that I think have both captured the spirit of what we're wanting from this one.
Yeah.
And did a really good job presenting it.
Great. I'm in.
And one of them you actually see eating the creation, and that's, you know, of course, that carries some points for us.
Absolutely carries some points. Yeah. Big points for me. Anyway, that's so right. I'll be watching those right after we're done here. We'll award those today. Congratulations to anyone who wins, and we'll announce that and give you your prize package, and we'll remind you what next month is, or maybe we'll have a plan for next month. I don't know what it is yet, but.
Oh, we'll definitely. Oh, yeah. You mean, will we announce it later? Yeah, I don't know. I hope so.
Maybe.
We got to come up with a good idea.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. And then finally, Brian, you have a problem.
Dude, I'm gonna admit it right here. I have a Pokemon Go problem. I'm still playing and happy to report that a lot of the people that I was in raid with last night, Tet still plays, Randy Deluxe still plays.
Randy still plays. Yep. All right. Okay. Did I ever tell you about the time I played Pokemon Go?
Did I ever tell you about the time I found a CP927 Snorlax? So I got tipped off. All right. Let me back up here. So for the last week up until yesterday afternoon, there was a water festival event going on in Pokemon Go, which means more Magikarps, more...
They the ones that flop on their side, the carps?
Yes.
Okay, I like those.
And those are the ones, if you get 400 candies, yeah, then you can evolve that into a Gyarados, which is like one of the Desirous Pokemon.
Right.
And even the very occasional and rare Lapras. And I was really hoping, because I don't have one of those, and I was hoping, oh man, I hope during this event I can score a Lapras.
Yeah.
And so last day, the very last day, there's a Facebook group, a couple of Pokemon. There's even a Tadpool Pokemon Go Facebook group. But somebody had pointed out here in Colorado that there are Twitter feeds that will alert you when something pops in a certain area. And basically, when something pops, you've usually got about 30 minutes to go get it.
Yeah.
And this feed only tells you about the rares, and it only tells you about the pseudo, you know, the not quite as rare as that have perfect IVs in case you do want to evolve it and put it in a gym, blah, blah, blah. Well, yesterday I'm wrapping up work and I look over at the Twitter feed and I see Dragonite popped in Golden, and Golden's like, you know, 10 minutes away from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God. All right. I'm going to totally get it. And there's 60 minutes to get it. So it's like, I don't even have to scramble. I can, you know, take my time, get out there, find it, catch it, come back home, piece of cake. Dragonite. And it's like, you know, that's another great one to have if you do want to put something in the gym.
Right.
So I get out there. I've got the little GPS marker that points to where it popped. Google Maps is telling me exactly which way to drive. I'm driving out there. And as I'm getting closer and it starts zooming in on the area of the map, I see that it's in this area where there are no roads. Like, there's roads above it, there's roads to the north of it, there's roads to the south of it, but it's in this area.
Yeah.
And I flip over and look at that same location in Apple Maps, and it says Coors Canning Facility. Popped right in the center of the Coors Canning Facility, which you have to be an employee to even get in the parking lot. They've got a gate.
Yeah, of course they do. There's a high security there, I'm guessing.
High security, yeah. They don't want anybody sneaking in there and sticking a finger in beer or something like
right,
that.
Right, right. Or worse. Who knows?
But, or worse.
So wait a minute.
Put a glove on a bottle.
Can you get on the tour or something? Maybe that's the way to do it.
I actually thought about that. The tours had all ended for the day, but I was totally thinking I could totally do like they do in the movies where you tiptoe in as part of the tour group, mm-hmm, and then they round a corner and you go doot, 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 yep, off the other direction.
Oh, I would love that. You got to do that. That would be amazing. Is it always there? Is it permanently there? Is that how it works?
No. It just popped for 60 minutes. And these things pop up randomly. I mean, I can pull up the feed right now and tell you what's in the cities around me. But got into raid last night. And so I came home. I said, well, screw it. There's no way I can get it. I can't.
Yeah.
You know.
How far was this again? How far away was it? How many minutes away did you have to
go? Oh, 10 minutes away from my house.
No big deal.
Piece of cake to get there.
All right.
Not even enough time for me to fill out an application, go through an interview, get hired to work at Coors, move into that department, and try and catch it. So I drove back home. And last night I'm talking about it in raid. And I forgot at the time. Well, I didn't forget, but I didn't even really consider it, is that our friend of the show, Old Man Franks, works at Coors.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I mentioned it to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, Brian, you should have told me. I totally would have, like, walked you into the building, taken you wherever you needed to go, and captured it, you know, as well.
Wow. I didn't know he worked there. And he can just do that? He must have some good security level in there.
Well, it's not, I think, as long as you're an employee of Coors, you can pretty much go anywhere. It's not like they've got Sector 7 where you have to have a red level security clearance to go see the fizzy lifting beer factory or something like that.
Yeah, they're not going to have some R&D department that's, I mean, maybe they
do, but they probably aren't coming up with the next, you know.
Yeah. But not secret, changing beer tomorrow, for sure.
Secret beer weapon. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So are you going to try to do it, or what are you going to do? Is it not there anymore? Is it gone?
Oh, it's not there. It only popped for 60 minutes. I gave up. But
yeah.
Let's see what's here in Colorado right now. There's a Flaffy in North Lakewood. There's a Jolteon in Green Mountain. What's here in Golden? What's close by?
Is this just a Colorado tweet?
It's a Twitter feed. It's several Twitter feeds that all are centered around different cities. So you only need to follow the ones that are right around you.
So you think there's probably a Salt Lake one?
I looked. There's the only two states that it looked like they had it were Colorado and West Virginia.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not seeing anything that refers to this for. Yeah. That's unfortunate. We have a big fall. I saw three kids out yesterday in the rain looking for Pokemon.
Yeah, there's still, you know, there's still the players who are still playing it are avidly playing it. The other 90% have stopped.
Yeah, but you might get them back. Temperatures warm up. You give them some events and reasons to do it.
That's the thing. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a whole new. There, all the Gen 2 stuff dropped a few weeks ago, and so there's 80 brand new ones you can catch, or 90 brand new ones we can catch. So
yeah, there's still a chance, I think, for that.
It's fun. I'm having a blast doing it, and I'm getting, you know, there's a couple parks I really like going to and doing laps around the park, because there's Pokestops and gyms and all that stuff, and I can go out and be in the fresh air. If there's no other benefit to this, the fact that it's getting me outside when it's nice out.
Yeah, you're getting that Rocky Mountain high. Is what you're getting.
I am getting that Rocky Mountain high.
All right,
and maybe catching a Larvitar while I'm at it.
What the hell's a Larvitar? Describe it. What is it?
It's a little tiny dinosaur looking thing that when you evolve it turns into a Pupitar or Pupitar. And then you evolve that, and it turns into like a big old Godzilla-looking thing that apparently is like the new great one to get.
All right. Well, I believe in you and your Pokemon future. Do you still wear the little clip that lets you know when stuff's happening or whatever?
This one right here?
Yeah, that. Yeah, you're wearing it now.
Oh, yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because the GPS around here is so spotty, the game thinks that I'm walking around right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. This is a good Pokemon update. We haven't had one in a while.
Yeah, so totally.
Totally appreciate that. All right. Well, hey, look at this. It's the news brought to you by our.
I've been growing my hair since 2012. Obviously, this is me. And will soon cut it to donate to Wigs for Kids. As long as my hair is, it still takes 6 to 10 ponytails to make one wig. In addition to the hair donation, I'd like to raise funds and awareness for Cure Childhood Cancer. You can visit them at curechildhoodcancer.org, a wonderful nonprofit that specializes in cancer research and patient and family assistance. If you guys think I should shave my head, donate today. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, you don't need to shave it. You've already shaved yours.
I did it today, as a matter of fact, to the actual razor.
Well, let's see the back, because yesterday it was growing. Let me see.
It was, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's all shorn now. It's shorn.
It's all shorn and shiny.
You can always tell there's a little bit of, you get a little suntan outside of it.
Is it really? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little white. That's okay, though. It's
Oops.
Good. That's good. I like to be blinded when I look at you. The background. Hey, look at this here. Here's some news for you. A man died at a gravesite during his wife's funeral. So he's at his wife's funeral.
Oh, no.
And then he died.
It's like total broken heart. You know.
There are worse ways to go. I think I might be cool with this if I were him.
I know. I think if this were to happen, I think I'd be okay with it.
Yep. Community has been left in shock after Co-Antrim. That's the guy's name. Oh, that's the place.
That's the place.
A Co-Antrim
County,
man.
County Antrim, I believe.
Is it? It's in Northern Ireland, so who knows what they're doing over there.
Yeah.
Who died during his wife's funeral. James McAllister was attending the funeral of his wife, Kathleen, in Cushtadall on Wednesday after she passed away on Monday. They were both aged. They were both in their late 70s, it says. McAllister was shaking hands with people after attending his wife's requiem mass at the St. Mary's Church when he took unwell. I love the way that said.
Took unwell.
He's taken unwell. People had been paying their respects when he collapsed at his wife's graveside. The parishioners tried to revive him. They weren't successful. He said a lot of people were standing around praying and hoping he would recover. There was a big attendance at the funeral and of Kathleen and a lot of those in attendance there when Jimmy died by her graveside. I just think there are worse ways to go. I would
totally. Mind this. Yeah, I'd say, hey, while you're right there, just you know, roll him in there with her.
Well, I wasn't exactly thinking.
Well, I mean, it's probably where he'd want to be, right?
Yeah. I don't know if you roll him in there, but, you know.
If he's on the ground right next to the graveside, then.
You just toss him in.
Just kind of, you kind of point at the tree over there and you just push him
away. Hey, you guys, look over there. What is that over there? All right, put him in quickly.
Are those Lucky Charms?
Nudge.
That's how you get those guys every time, is just fool them into thinking they're Lucky Charms. Anyway.
Always trying to steal me Lucky Charms.
Always trying to shove the husband in with the wife. Crayola, you know, the people that make the crayons, or as they say here in Utah, crayons.
Crayons, yeah.
I hate that.
Two syllables, people. Yeah. Two syllables.
Crayons.
Crayons.
From Crayola. They're retiring a color from its 24 box count for the first time in history. Friday is National Crayon Day. Did you know that, Brian?
No, I didn't know that.
How are you going to celebrate?
I'm going to go eat 64 burnt sienna tacos.
Perfect. That sounds good. It's not even a real taco, and it sounds good.
Burnt sienna, yeah. Mm.
Friday is National Crayon Day, but at Crayola, it would also be a farewell party. For the first time in its 100-year history, the company will retire a color from its 24-box count.
Ooh, which one? Oh, my gosh, which one?
Well, they are retiring this color, erasing it from the color bank, sending it to the crayon black hole, says this article, who is getting paid by the word. Yeah. Except Crayola isn't saying which crayon is getting kicked out, saying the announcement for Friday or saving it for Friday morning. They're saying they guess it's not red, blue, yellow, unless Crayola wants to set off riots around the world. Then again, stranger things have happened. You might be wondering, but can Crayola do that? Just kill off a color like an overpaid actor on a lung ruining soap opera? I hate this article.
Yeah.
I hate it.
NJNewJersey.com. NJ.com. Well done.
They did it in 2003 when the Save the Shade contest kept burnt sienna around, but have the they had to boot Blizzard Blue.
Oh.
Yeah. That was a bad time for Blizzard, except they had Warcraft 3 come out, and that was okay. Let's see.
And they were in the pink.
The other, I'll see, Crayola also retired several colors in 1990 when the color blue, orange, when green, blue, orange, red, yellow, orange, yellow, violet, blue, maize, which is corn for my people. You remember that commercial?
I totally remember that commercial.
Yeah, I'm not just thinking of
my
that.
My people call it maize.
Yeah, you call it corn. It was a canola thing or a corn oil.
I think so, yeah. I think that's right.
What the things we used to do, like the crying Indian and all that, what were we doing? We mistreat our Native American brethren. Anyway, Crayola retired several colors. Oh, I already said that. And by the way, raw umber is no longer a color.
Oh,
so,
raw umber.
Yeah, they got to quit acting like this is new. This is something
they've
been
doing. It's only cooked umber is the only color that's part of that. So this is obviously kind of publicity stunt-esque.
Sure. It's like the Monopoly deal a little bit.
Exactly. By the way, dinosaurs?
Yeah.
You have a T-Rex now. They took out the...
thimble, right?
The thimble and replaced it with a T-Rex.
Yep, I heard about that. The thimble, I mean, whatever. Like, they already have a bunch of sets of this thing that had different pieces anyway, so it is very much just publicity, but I see why some people might be tied to the old things. Like, if you're going to get rid of one of those, get rid of the damn wheelbarrow. That thing sucks.
Like it does suck.
Yeah, who wants that?
You know, I don't mind the thimble being gone, too. But my opinion has been and will always will be that the pieces should somehow represent wealth.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like all a little private them? Jet would be a great one. You know, the race car, keep the race car. It's perfect.
Okay. Could you have like an orange guy in an ill-fitting suit? Would that be that work?
A Bigley piece?
A Bigley piece, yeah. But wasn't always the idea to have like there's the fancy car and there's the stuff, but then it goes all the way down like to an iron and a thimble because some of the places that you get in the game are considered low rent, like crappy parts of town.
But do you want to be the player that starts with a piece? You know, but you're a player that goes from having $1,500 in cash or whatever. I think that's what you start with.
Yeah.
To hopefully being the winner, right, and having everything on the board. Why would you want to perpetually represent your play of the game with a piece that represents poverty?
That's a good point. That's actually a really good point.
Make them all represent poverty or make them all represent wealth, but But having a range and then some things that don't even that don't represent that at all, I think is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, and a friendly reminder that Monopoly kind of sucks. So
says you.
Says me. I realize
I have five wrapped copies on my shelf.
And I refuse to open them.
I'm sure you have the World of Warcraft Monopoly.
Yeah,
right?
I do have that. They sent me that. It's over there, in fact. That's actually, I mean, that has so much nostalgia for the game that it's easy to get wrapped up in playing.
It's got Thrall's Hammer as one of the pieces. And
Yeah, the Doomhammer's in there. What else they have? Doomhammer. They have some other stuff. I forget now. Is there a Kodo in there?
The
or something?
Infinity Gauntlet or the Tesseract? I don't know.
All those things. Nerd things.
Lore? What? I don't know.
Yeah. A DeLorean. Who knows? Let's see. What are we doing now? Oh, I got one here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I still, sorry to back up, I still say that Monopoly card game, Monopoly Deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite quick to play card games. It's fantastic.
It's cool.
And it's weird to feel that way about that, but feel so negatively toward the core game of Monopoly.
Right.
I don't understand what my problem is. A suspect posing as a Target employee took $40,000 in iPhones. Police are seeking a woman. I should finish.
So three of them.
Yeah. Oh, zing. Well done. Apple and their premium prices.
Apple's expensive.
Yeah. It costs so much money. That one's for you, all you Android people. Enjoy it.
Sorry, go ahead.
They're all priced the same. People should knock it off. But that was
right,
funny.
Exactly.
Well done. She took dozens of iPhones, this woman, so they're looking for her, police say. The iPhone theft occurred, police say, after a mystery woman. Mystery woman. What's her power, Brian?
I don't know. Excelsior.
I can kind of laugh again.
I was
again.
Hoping you'd ask, because that one I had in the
you've been keeping that one? Keeping it safe, keeping it secret?
Yep.
After a mystery woman gained access to the Target stockroom by pretending to be an employee, she put more than $40,000 worth of iPhones in a box and is seen in a surveillance video leaving the store. The suspect is not affiliated with the store, but appeared to have knowledge of the store's procedures, employee hours, and the location of the iPhones in the stockroom, says police. Police say the woman left the store in a Volvo station wagon. So, if you live anywhere near wherever the hell this took place...
Let's see. WBRC in...
Cincinnati. No. does it say? Virginia. Fairfax County, Virginia.
There you go.
Oh, there she is, walking out with a stroller and everything. Jeez.
Yeah.
Here, chat room.
There's a little picture of her. Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, let me show you guys this. Here it is. See, look at her.
Didn't even seal the box. Like, you can see in the box, there's like a bunch of iPhones.
Yeah. And she's wearing a Target t-shirt? And she's wearing a tag and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That means an employee's in trouble.
Where are those decorative candles?
What have you done with them?
I hate and love Target. I like it better than Walmart.
Oh, I love Target, but I just got to remember never to wear a red shirt and khakis there because people come up to you all the time and ask you where stuff is.
I have been there before and done that. Let's see
here. I just say, let me go look and see if we have more in the back, and then I go to a different department.
And I guess people buy iPhones at Target, I guess, right? That's the thing you can do. I mean,
buy what at Target?
iPhones. I mean, I guess, obviously, because she stole a bunch, but I never think of it as a place to buy a phone.
Yeah, I assume you can do your whole, pick your carrier and all that stuff there.
I do video games there and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I don't ever think of
action figures.
Yeah, yeah. You get your bobbleheaded whatevers. Oh, did you see Blizzard's new high-end collectible figurine things?
No.
You're gonna die. Oh my gosh. Let me show you this. Blizzard figures. Dude. They just got shown off yesterday. They're four to start with, I believe. One is Tracer. One is... dang it. Is it in the news? Where did I see this? Oh, Overwatch Widowmaker 13-inch statue launched. Yeah. This is it. At least part of it. I'll give you a link. They're like really high-end, well-made stuff. I'm putting it in your phone deal unit.
My text message. Yeah.
It says, let's see, Blizzard Entertainment has delivered a new arena and the award-winning maker officially launched the premium collectible franchise dubbed as Blizzard Collectibles. As for their toy lines initiative, First Salvo, they released a collectible figure of the hero assassin in Overwatch Widowmaker. because they know that sexy ladies sell.
That's right, exactly.
Overwatch said Blizzard faithfuls might get confused. Overwatch premium action figure. It doesn't say how much. That's what I'm trying to find is price. Here, chat, there's a video.
Wow, so these are these all Overwatch? So Reaper, Widowmaker, Tracer, and...
When I was a girl.
Oh, that's loud, sorry. Yeah, they seem to be... The initial ones seem to be Overwatch related.
Mm-hmm.
But I, cool. I assume that means we'll see... Oh, that's really detailed. Look at this video. Oh, wow.
Just have that's, Bill... the video, that's the video from the site?
Yeah, maybe Bill can just make us one. They look really nice.
I kickstarted a 3D scanner, so you know all we need is one of these, and then I can 3D print.
There you go. Dozens. Nailed it. The future they're all fearing.
The Tracer statue is already sold out.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Is there a? Okay, here we go. Pricing 150. That's not too bad.
No,
that's not too bad at all. Like that Illidan statue they sold last year was There it is, 350. Oh, interesting. Oh, and there's the Overwatch Reaper. I would want the Reaper.
Reaper is really cool.
I keep hoping a friend at Blizzard will just send one, but they won't.
I don't know. The Widowmaker one is really cool too. Mm. I still haven't seen the Tracer one. But these are slick.
Oh, they're really slick. I want one bad. But I also want like Thrall and I want WoW stuff. I want everything.
Blizzard. StarCraft.
Yeah, I want every... You know what? Just make Heroes of the Storm ones because that includes everybody.
Right, because that crosses all the different...
yeah. That'd be awesome.
Right, perfect.
Anyway, there's that. Okay, Pornhub. Final story about Pornhub.
Okay.
Well, probably not their final story, but our final story today.
Right.
Pornhub says that they will donate $100 to you, Brian, if you upload a video of you having sexual relations in a panda costume.
Oh, okay.
So you got to put on like a panda suit, kind of furry style or whatever, and then you gotta be doing it.
It's a little Chen Storm Snout cosplay.
Yeah, a little bit.
Storm Stout.
Storm Strout is fine. Whatever you got is fine. The world's leading purveyor of smut. Is that true? Are they the number one?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
I wonder if they've gotten that big. Anyway, has suddenly developed an interest in animal activism, launching an initiative to boost panda populations by centralizing incentivizing to show how it's done.
I love how they like pick a cause and then figure out the skeeviest way to support that cause.
Big time. We're going to save the pandas. How do you want to do it? People need to be doing it in a video with panda costumes. Sounds great.
Does there need to be anybody else in the movie?
I hope they never have to save the whales. That could be trouble.
Oh, geez, yeah.
It says, in between orgy and parody, Pornhub has created an all-new category called Panda Style, promising to donate 100...
Panda Style!
They'll donate $100 every time there's a panda video to a panda to panda conservation for every video that uses the uploader starring them having sex in panda suit costumes. The company stated its intention... is that researchers will be able to use the videos to get the sexually ambivalent animals in the mood. Because that's one of the problems, right?
Right, yeah. The pandas, what the pandas apparently need are to watch people in panda costumes doing it.
Yeah, that makes tons of sense to me. Because we are, clearly, pandas are only attracted to people dressed as pandas.
Yes,
makes
right,
no damn
exactly.
sense.
Oh, that's what we should be doing. That does it for me.
Oh, family. All right. And then it says, I can't get Chen out of my head. That's based on somewhat real science. Each year at the Chengdu something research base and giant panda breeding zookeeper show, they show clueless and unenthusiastic pandas. They showed some hardcore mating videos to pique their libido, and they say it works. So I don't know. I don't know, Pornhub. You got your esports teams. You're giving free taxi drives or rides around some... What was the deal in New York? They did
snow removal.
That's what it was. Boston snow removal. That's right.
Yeah.
And now it's Save the Pandas.
You know what? Good for Pornhub. I joke, but you know, whatever. They're doing something more than whatever some of these other ones are. Brazzers and
what is that? I've never even heard of that. Brazzers?
That's the one. So I think it's just a porn site, but anytime you see a meme of something innocuous, they put the Brazzers logo on it, and all of a sudden it looks like the opening to a porn.
I didn't know that was a thing. It's like a little meme. I didn't know.
Yeah,
about
like
that.
If you do a search, I can't. It's probably a bad thing to do. But if you do a search for Brazzers meme,
okay, I'm scared. Is this going to be bad?
I might be. But
how do you even spell that? Brazzers.
Yeah, two Z's. Yeah.
Meme.
Okay, these are all safe and they're hilarious.
Oh yeah, look at this. That's really funny.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty
like
funny.
SpongeBob or what is this? What is SpongeBob's buddy's name?
Patrick Star.
Patrick, yeah. It's like
yeah, that one's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty funny. Yeah, I'd never heard of it. Yeah. But now I know. Oh well. I know nothing. I know nothing, Jon Snow.
That's all right. This is one of those things that's probably good, you know.
Probably nothing good
about.
That I don't know about. Well, I don't know. What do you think's next for them? Are they gonna? What's if you're Pornhub and you're doing all these philanthropic things, despite the fact that your industry is looked upon as being a little sour or whatever? What's your next big move?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, changing the name seems like the good thing to do.
Yeah. Or have an offshoot company or something. Like, you know, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but back in the 70s or 80s, Bob Guccione owned Penthouse Magazine. He was the publisher of Penthouse.
Right.
And then he went and made Omni. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Omni, no one, and when I tell people that, they have no idea that they're connected at all. Because Omni was this like science magazine and it had nothing to do with porn at all. And maybe Pornhub could do that. Maybe they could just put some of their dirty money to work. I mean, I don't want to touch any other money.
Right.
That money's been in places.
Like, you know, ending child trafficking or something like that. You know, I think that's...
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone would take him seriously, but it'd be cool, I guess.
Maybe this is the way to do it. You start off with snow removal and pandas, and you work your way up into causes that people take more seriously. Or not causes people take more seriously, but causes that seem more believable that you'd be actually trying to make a difference in them.
Oh, I see. You can build up to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also... What if they end up like tripling the panda population because of their little plan here, and then they have to do free panda removal?
right, thinning the panda herd.
Yeah. Go out with their trucks and push pandas around.
Mm-hmm.
Family. All right. we're gonna take a bit of a break. When we come back, Wendy's here. She's sent in an email she got via the website that we're gonna discuss, and cool. We'll do a little Therapy Thursday. But before that, why don't you play me a request?
I will do exactly that. Well, it's not really a request. It's an Indie in the Middle, Scott. Oh. And for this Indie in the Middle, we're going to go over to San Francisco for a band called The Singing Limbs. They have a brand new album coming out called Mint. And you can find these guys at thesinginglimbs.com. They are an indie rock quartet. I love the sound these guys sound. I mean, it's very... it feels like 70s, but 70s in that way that Daft Punk, recent Daft Punk album had kind of a 70s feel to it.
That was great.
It was really, really good. Yeah. From the upcoming album Mint by The Singing Limbs, here is the song Stay.
Here it is. We'll be back in a sec. Stay tuned.
Sorry not to let you worry, I ain't the only one around. We're shutting off your power, Mr. Power Pirate. You're now under the control of my golden lasso. It will force you to tell us the truth.
Chesticles.
This is the morning stream. Shut up, baby, I know it.
And we're back, everybody. I really liked that a lot.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. That's good stuff.
The Singing Limbs and their brand new album, Mint. Find them online again at The Singing Limbs.
Do you know if they're on Spotify or Apple Music or anything?
I don't. I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I want to listen to that all day. Really, really dig it.
Yeah, it like just so perfectly captures that 70s funk feel.
I agree. Totally agree. Really good stuff. Every once in a while, I mean, you always play good stuff on here. Every once in a while, something will really like connect with me.
Yeah.
That one connected with me.
Not on Apple Music, but
maybe one day soon.
Maybe one day soon, yes.
They've got a good selection there. One would expect it. All right. Wendy's on her way in. We'll get with her, see what's up. I got a little theme for Wendy. She doesn't even know it yet.
What? Really?
Yeah. That's something I found the other day. I think she'll probably get a little kick out of it or think I'm a dork. Probably more likely the dork thing. But anyway, we'll see what we get when she answers the phone. Oh, hello, Wendy.
Hello.
Hey, look at this. I have a theme for you when you come on now. You ready? I'm going to play it. You ready?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, here you go. This is it right here.
Something wrong, Batman? Has anybody seen Wendy?
There you go. Has anybody seen Wendy? I found her. Nice. They probably spelled it with a Y, but that's fine. Whatever.
I guarantee they did.
Yeah, everyone does but you. Yeah. Hey, so, I don't know if I told you this. I got an email from somebody who claims to be a stripper in Vegas or Reno, I forget, somewhere in Nevada, who says their name is Wendy and it is spelled with an I, like their actual name.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
I forgot to tell you about that.
We're either cheerleaders or strippers.
Yeah.
If we work in grocery stores, it's with a Y.
That's yeah, exactly. And also, sure. What's cool is there is a Vegas stripper or Reno stripper who listens to the morning stream, which is also really weird.
That's really cool, actually.
Shout out to Wendy. Woo!
That's
is
right.
That her like stage name or that's her real name?
She says it's her real name. She said it's not my stage name; it's my real name. My parents gave me the name Wendy with an I, is what she said. So I mean, unless they're faking it, this could be some dude named Larry in Ohio, for all I know, who's making this up. But
Larry with an
Wendy,
I.
Wendy, come
Ohio.
Say hi to us in 2 weeks in Las Vegas, yeah. Tuesday night, April 11th.
That's
at
right.
Top Golf.
That's right.
At the MGM Grand.
I'll be there. So be there.
Nice.
Be there, stripper lady. Be there. All right. Well, Wendy is my sister. She comes on the show on Thursdays. We talk about people's problems and we try to help them. Sometimes it's topical, sometimes it's specific. Today it's specific. It's an email that you got via the website, I assume, right?
Yes, a long time ago, which will. Learn all of you to start sending me new questions
because yeah.
I'm digging in the old stuff that I forgot was there.
It's an oldie. It's an oldie but goodie. So
it's an oldie, and hopefully he's already gotten help and he's fine now. But I think it's a very good topic.
Do you think I'm okay saying his name, or should we not use their name?
You could just say his initial, and then you know where he's from. He describes that as well.
Right.
So go ahead and
write. All right, it's C is what we'll say. Hi, Wendy. I spent the majority of my days feeling sad, with zero energy and generally feeling pretty blue. In addition, anytime anything big comes up in my life, i.e. when my partner and I just bought a house, or when I apply for jobs, social engagements, etc., my chronic reflux plays up badly, basically giving me nasty churning stomach sensations. That sounds familiar. I get that. Both my parents, my brother, and most of my aunts and uncles suffer from anxiety and or depression, and based on the above, I'm pretty sure I do too. In particular, recently, I've been finding myself super grumpy, rude, and super depressed after missing out on two jobs that I applied for and didn't get. I have made the decision to finally do something about it, and I am planning to see a doctor in the next year to discuss this and what might be done to help me. But I'm worried, yay anxiety, about what to say, how to prepare, and anything else I should be ready for. As an aside, I have also been reading a fair bit on an Australian site, he's Australian, he says, that tackles depression and anxiety over at beyondblue.org.au. It's been pretty good, and in particular identified me as a heavily depressed and anxious based on some basic quizzes on the site. But I am after another opinion, especially given how much I respect yours, and some thoughts on next steps. Thanks very much in advance. C. Okay. C in Australia. Something jumped out at me here, and I'm wondering if it jumps out at you. He says, I'm planning on in the next year to see a doctor. That seems like sounds like me putting something off when I put things off.
He said in the new year, I thought.
Oh, did he say in? Oh, because this is an old email.
Yeah, it was in. He wrote it at the end of November.
Right.
Last year, right? And then he said in the new year.
Yeah.
Which is a great time to go see your therapist in January. And I mean, I am always slammed in January, but just like the gym. Mm. Really good to go other times as well. It's just people get motivated, like, I really got to do something about this. And they've just been with their crazy families. So there's a lot of like, so it is a pretty motivating time. But hey, anytime's a good time. Spring's also.
Do you find that there's drop off though after that initial push in January? Like you'll have some people. Okay, that's interesting. So you're like the gym sort of in a weird way.
A little bit, yeah. And when I say there's a big push, there's new people, of course, that show up, and I work with them however long they need. But it's often my older clients that are like, oh, okay, I need a check in, you know. So that's why I get it sort of slammed from both sides. But it's tempting to put off. I mean, anxiety is the fantastic motivator to not do something because it's scary, right?
Yeah.
So I cannot speak for Australian system. I can speak for Sweden's and at least the Western half of the United States. And it is not easy. This whole process of getting help is not easy. So I don't know if I've told you this, but I have a friend here from Britain and she just loves to talk about, how all the Brits make fun of Americans because we are all in therapy.
Yeah. No, it's like New York. Right? Like you assume, you know, there's this stereotype. I'm sure it's just a stereotype, but there's a stereotype. If you live in New York, you have a shrink, you have a therapist. Like it's always been that. And I always get the impression from British people, not Terpster so much, but other people in London and Bristol that everyone's in therapy because it's like very normalized. Like you just know you need to go in there and talk to them. And there's the stigma's not as thick and that sort of stuff. I always hear that.
In Britain. Yeah. Are you saying that?
Yeah. In Britain.
Oh, that's interesting because she's from Northern England. And so maybe it's different up there, but she's like, it's in every movie. There's somebody in therapy in every American movie.
Yeah.
We just think of Americans. You're just so open. You got to share your feelings. And Brits, you know, we just went Winston Churchill it, you know?
I think we're good. I think we're good with our art and expressing anxieties and things and issues, but we're terrible on the ground. You know what I mean? Like you're going to, she's right that you're going to see a million movies with a million people in therapy. And your impression is, oh man, all Americans are talking about their feelings all the time. I think our art reflects the things we're not doing.
Right. And also all Americans are beautiful and running on beaches and their lives are fantastic.
Oh man, I got some bad news for them, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do have slightly better teeth, honestly, no offense, everyone, but we do. And I know why, because we're obsessed with how things look. I mean, that's kind of one of our cultural touchstones. And so we get our teeth done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
And we'd have teeth like the Brits if, you know, they cared more about their teeth and we cared less. We'd all share the same teeth.
Sure.
Yet another group we're going to have to apologize to. Oh,
I know.
PM today.
It's okay. You missed this thing at the top of the show where I went off, but I talked about gypsies and the whole shortening in the term gyp and how something's a gyp and it's derogatory toward gypsies. And anyway, I'm already worried about those people. So, no, this is good. You're going to actually help me buffer that by bad teeth British people.
Offend all of the Brits. Yeah, oh, fine. Whatever. They can make fun of us, too.
Yeah, it's fine. They're fine.
Well, she asked me about, she also asked me about the, what was it? Why we're so, something.
Why we don't.
And I turned.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the gun thing. She was like, help me understand the gun thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I essentially blamed it on her and her people. And she was like, oh, it always comes back to us. You're always blaming us. Yeah, I'm like, that's always, why we're all in therapy.
You can. No, you can track it all back to Britain and our secession from the great power all that was Britain at the time. Sure. Mm-hmm. I think you can trace all of it because the guns were to keep us safe from the British. And then that just sunk in. And then we made it an amendment. And now we love them. And people, you know. You can do. You can range anywhere between. Oh, I don't have a gun, but I like to go shoot clay pigeons. To I have 50 guns in the basement. Just try to come and get me, government. Like that's the range. Yeah.
And it's all the British's fault.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
No. It's just fun to tease her. Okay. So here's the thing about this. I really don't know the process there. And with a lot of confidence, I can say it's probably nothing that I would recognize because my experience here in Sweden, I mean, folks here, it's generations and generations of like be tough, dark winters, not the most emotionally expressive people unless you get them drunk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a stereotype, but it's kind of true.
You guys are Vikings. They're Vikings out there. They're used to this, man. Odin's curse. They just, we must live through the winters. How we must make it through. Like, that's the whole thing, right? All the time.
Yeah. It doesn't sound as mean when you do it with that voice. Okay. So anyway, yeah, they are great. And they're very advanced. I mean, any new research out, they're trying it. They're, you know, it's not like they're, well, we can't talk about our feelings because that's hippie. It's simply not built in the structure like it is, I think, in the States. I mean, obviously, we still have stigma in the States. And, you know, he's addressing this very thing when he says, I have this stuff. It runs crazy in my family. I'm not really sure. I go to this website. It says I'm, you know, hugely depressed and anxious. I still got to talk to someone about that. Like, is this normal to feel like this? And that's really common for people mm-hmm. to be like, okay. So yeah, I feel crappy, but everyone has bad days or ways we talk about it that are tricky because it then feels like, well, what's your problem? Everyone else has a bad day and just gets over it.
Yeah.
So some of the stigma comes from just people's, and this is really common, people's own experience. They then project on someone else mm-hmm. like, oh, wow. That just popped in my head. Jason Chaffetz saying that people need to stop buying fancy cell phones and buy healthcare. Right?
Oh, I'd love that you're following the local goings on of Jason Chaffetz. That's awesome.
Oh, it's not local. It's national. That dude is embarrassing on a national level.
No, we hate him. We can't stand him. And I want that doctor lady to get his job. But anyway, go ahead.
I know, me too. So anyway, but the thing about saying something like that is I don't know Jason Chaffetz's story, but I'm guessing he never had to choose between his communication device and his health,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So maybe he has. I have no idea.
No,
but
we're paying for his health care. So I think we're also paying for his phone. So F that guy.
True.
But
he's
anyway.
Got it all.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. But it's projecting your experience, your own thoughts onto somebody else. It's a really common thing that people do. And there are certain types of brains, people who are a little more black and white, people who are a little more want sort of surety about things. Gray areas really bug them, makes them nervous. They want people to fit into a category so the world makes sense to them. Can really struggle with empathy for somebody else. Like, mm-hmm. well, just stop being stupid or stop being homeless or, you know, whatever. Just get over yourself until they experience it themselves. I'm not saying this guy from Australia is in this category at all, but it's a common, we're all this to some extent, right? Mm-hmm. But when it is us and we suddenly don't feel great or we've kind of, it's gotten worse or whatever, it's really hard to face that reality. So the first step he has moved towards, which is, okay, I think there really might be a problem. And it's time to get this checked out. But then you have anxiety. So anxiety is anxiety and always gets invited to every party, which is, oh crap, what is this going to look like? What am I going to do? So I'm going to make some assumptions about Australia. They're nice and friendly.
Sure.
And there are probably some really great professionals there to help you out. So, and this is true anytime you're going to meet a therapist. And I think I've talked about this before. And it's tricky because you're having the white coat syndrome. Like this is the expert. They're going to tell me what's right for my life. They're going to give me answers. You know, there's sort of a pedestal thing that happens right away. And I'm going to argue with you about that this person may have great skills. They also may have, you know, worked with a ton of people, have a lot of experience and can really help you. Mm. But if they bug you the minute you meet them, it's not going to help you.
Yeah.
Or if you don't feel safe or like they're actually listening or, you know, whatever it may be that feels off to you. You got to think of it like you're hiring someone to help you with your life instead of what we often think of when we go to the doctor is like, whoever, as long as you got a white coat on and a degree and you can give me a pill or a remedy or tell me what's wrong. We're very much trained in that methodology.
Yeah. That's why they still do commercials for healthcare related things with guys in white coats that have to either at the bottom in small text, or they have to say, I'm not a real doctor, but I play one on TV or whatever. There's still something about that image that it's makes reassuring. People go, oh, doctor type thing, and I must be in good hands or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, it matters, but that's our training. Our training is not, I'm going to sit down with this lady wearing a fuzzy sweater and clogs and I always joke. That's where I'm going to end up. I'm going to be having some clogs and some fuzzy socks.
Fuzzy sweaters, fuzzy socks, and clogs. That's amazing.
And I might be knitting while they're talking.
Amazing.
Like, this is where this is headed.
Amazing.
I mean, they're not, it's not quite the same. They're not going to wear a white coat unless you go to a lab somewhere, which I don't know if I'd recommend that. And so it's like, hey, this person is supposed to help me. And really, number one, you need to kind of like them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't love them, that's okay. You just can't be bugged by them or not trust them or feel like, they're too busy for me. Okay. None of that really works because what is required? Whereas a doctor's like, oh, you got a staph infection. Here's a thing. You don't have to ultimately trust that person with your innermost whatever. You're just trusting that they know enough to prescribe the right thing. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But this other person, I have to build a relationship with them and eventually trust them with all the stuff you need, you know. So think of yourself as a shopper a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's tricky, especially when you're anxious because you're thinking, I need them to like me. Or what if I said the wrong thing? Like, what if? And that can be, you know, pretty challenging. Mm-hmm. But the best advice I have is be as open as possible. Yeah. And you're going to get the better help that way. And if you don't feel like you're getting that help, tell them. Mm-hmm. So recently I have a client who is working with a marriage counselor with her spouse and not here in Sweden, somewhere far away. And in that relationship, that the marriage counselor is pretty good, but he continues to point out what time it is. Mm-hmm. During the session.
Weird.
And I get what he's doing.
How much time they have left or what's on the clock?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
How much time is left and it's never like a round number. And there's something about that that bugs me. Like if you said, we have about 10 minutes left.
You have 18 minutes and 32 seconds left.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very specific. Or like insurance only covers 53 minutes. Like I know, what he's doing is he's fairly new at his practice. And I think what he's doing is it's for himself. Like he is trying to keep his own schedule and he is trying, cause I am terrible at that. And I have finally just accepted that I suck at that. Everyone knows I'm going to be 5 minutes late, but I will go 5 minutes over with you. That's just me. But I know what he's doing, but here's how it impacts those clients is they're like, it's like he doesn't want me there. And I know that's not what he's saying. He just doesn't realize that's how it's coming across. Right. Mm-hmm. So if that's happening and I've been coaching my client to say, hey, when you say, we have 13 and a half seconds left or 13 minutes left. I feel totally like you don't want us there.
Yeah.
He needs to know that and you need to practice that. So that's the cool thing about therapy is that it is a two-way relationship. It isn't just expert and client or whatever. It's also you're practicing in a little microcosm. Skills that maybe aren't safe to practice outside of that.
Well, like with any doctor, is it bad if you're like, if you're doing this with your doctor and you're taking an active part in the conversation and you're redirecting when the doctor is doing something that isn't right, just like with any other family physician or whatever, when that doctor pushes back or acts like you're not supposed to talk or whatever, is that a clue that you should go find another therapist? Like, what do you do with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't want to go in and be like, you don't know what you're saying. I mean, this isn't some ego competition thing, right? So if that's, I'm not saying that's what people would do, but they might after listening to this. But it's more about this person's every week saying certain things and you would like a little more ideas. Like, hey, how can I implement what we're talking about during the week? And they haven't suggested something. I have heard this over and over. People will just wait and wait and wait and keep going back and keep paying. And what they want is a little more help, but they don't ask for it, right? Mm-hmm. So this going in and stating your fears. So going back to the emailer, saying, hey, I'm terrified of this process. Like, can you please help me understand what to expect and what to do? Here's the thing. And here's the secret sauce, because we're all humans. And most therapists, I assume, like me, want to do a good job. And we don't know what you are thinking unless you say it, even though you think we're mind readers, people, we're not. Mm-hmm. You think, okay, well, I'm not going to say it. They'll know. Or we'll just wait and see if she ever gives me this thing I want, but I haven't mentioned. So, you know, it's not magic. And yet, I guess we want it to be, right? I mean, we want this person to just sort of get us immediately and have it be work out wonderfully. But this is kind of what I'm getting at, is the ownership of your own treatment. You know, I forget which study just came out recently about the time medical doctors spend with their patients around the world. Wow. It's like, and general practitioners is what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you, just, you don't want to go to one in England because I think they're 4 minutes.
Oh, wow. Spending four. So wow, because it's so little time they spend.
Yeah. Mm. And if you think about 4 minutes of rapport building really quick and let me tell you what's going on with me. I mean, they make a judgment in 17 seconds. So you have to, I mean, boom, 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 boom. And that's an unfortunate side effect of how medical care has developed as a business practice or whatever.
Yeah.
You have quite the opposite. You have an hour. You have a guaranteed 50 minutes or an hour where you are getting to express everything you want to express. You really do control the meeting. I'm just saying that, everyone.
I can't imagine how annoying it would be to have your therapist go, well, it's 4:22 with 30 seconds. Oh my gosh.
That would just
kill me.
We have six and a half minutes left. I was thinking about ordering some food. Can you excuse me for just a second?
So it's like the amount of time he spends telling you what time it is time spent. Like, right. That's right. Just weird. But anyway.
Right. And so that is a perfect example of like, hey, you like the work he's doing and how he's helping you, but he does this thing that drives you nuts. Now, you tell him, and he's going to go, oh, I didn't even realize I was doing that. Yeah. He still works for you. He's not going to be like, get out of my office. You can't tell me how to tell time. You know, it's not going to happen. But that's the thing about the microcosm of it, is that feedback you give your therapist is therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Now, some therapists are going to be like, ugh, don't be asking me these things, or I'm the expert. Sure, that's going to be some of them. But the majority, if they're any good, will say, wow, that's interesting. You know, thanks for sharing that. What are you going through when this happens? They use it in the session for therapy's sake, right? Right? So am I the first person you've sort of done that with where you just said, I don't like this thing? You seem nervous. And, you know, it's not about them, but it, you know, if your therapist is crappy, they'll make it about them. Mm-hmm. So that's the tricky part. But you got to be open to, and I know it's like, wait a minute, I'm depressed, I'm anxious. The last thing I even want to do is think I have to work to find a good therapist. Mm-hmm. And that's what sucks. But that's real.
Yeah.
It just is. And this is why I'm always telling people early, just like, it, you know, the first sign of something, start your exploring then, if you can, because then you can, you're still in the frame of mind to seek out good help. Mm-hmm. Often we wait until it is so bad. And I'm a hypocrite. I wait till my kids are gushing blood before we go to a doctor.
That's true.
It's so bad. Right.
And then you have more problems you have to have solved. If you get it early, then it's like, all right, I just have this one thing. Boom, solved. As opposed to, yeah, well, I have this one thing, and then I've been worrying about that so much that I've caused this, and then this is caused.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So by the way, I think that thing where you let your kids have to be, you know, gushing blood or whatever, we do that too. We're like, we were never like, the kids had to be so sick to go to the doctor. Because in my mind, maybe we got this from dad or something because he hated doctors and would never go. But in my mind, I was like, they're just going to tell me what I already know. She's got a upper respiratory thing. She's 3 years old and she's got RSV and it's bad. And I kind of know what all the things you can do and there's nothing they can give her. So they're just going to tell me that for $50 or whatever my copay is. So I think that's just a thing that runs in our genes.
It also is sort of, in my experience, a ramification of, what, 5, 7, 8 years? No, mm-hmm. 4 years, 6 years. 6 years on being self-employed and having a $10,000 deductible that I have to meet before they pay one penny.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm like, you bleeding? Not that bad.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. No, you have to
scar your face? Nah, you're fine.
You're totally right. We have to make, that happens all the time. You have to make these medical decisions based on potential costs, and that sucks.
It does. But see, I mean, Sweden, I could just go over to a clinic right now and do whatever. But I have this other feeling, which is like, but I'm not really one of you. So I don't really want to use you.
Yeah.
That's because that's how it feels to me. Like Elliot cut his head open. He gets it stitched just in 10 minutes. Everyone's like, okay, bye. And I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. This would have cost me $600.
Yeah.
And it cost me, are you sure? Can I give you a tip? It was the weirdest experience.
Yeah, that is
but
weird.
Yeah, it's a little bit of training of like, but okay. So saying that it's, I would be, so here I am a hypocrite again. I would be probably waiting until I was having a full meltdown before I sought mental health treatment. Because again, it's like, oh, it's not bleeding. And that may be some of it. There's some self-identity of sort of toughness or what's a doctor going to do for me? Or I've seen TV therapists just help the guy on Soprano or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like you kind of use a lot of excuses not to get help for a while until it gets too bad. So it's understandable, but it's tricky. I just wish people could, I don't know, something would trigger them. Like, let me just do this a little earlier. It's amazing what you can avoid. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like the big trick with this person right here is that once again, somebody wrote in and has, you know, ideas of improving themselves. Like this isn't a case where I don't know what to do. I think they kind of know what to do, and they maybe knew what to do in November and have since gotten help. And I would love to hear feedback or follow up on when it ended up happening. Like, did you go talk to a therapist? What did they recommend? Did it work out the way you wanted it to? Blah, blah, blah. So we'd love some feedback on this, but for anyone else out there feeling like this, the one thing I wanted to point to real quick before we end this is one specific part of his problem, which is there's a physical aspect to this. In his case, he gets chronic reflux and it happens when he's has a lot of anxiety or things are going weird, right? Mm-hmm. I can totally relate to this. My particular deal happens when usually high stress is what sends me into a flare up. That or I eat too much sugar or something dumb. So here's the loop you get into, at least I've gotten into. If you've already got kind of generalized anxiety and it can kind of come and go and whatever, but then now there's a physical component that is caused by it. That component is also causing new, it's looping back on itself is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So you just create this like circle and that seems like sometimes feels impossible to break because you're like, well, I wouldn't be stressed if this didn't hurt. But if it didn't hurt, I wouldn't be stressed. But I wouldn't be stressed if it didn't hurt. Like you're just going back and forth about this thing and you don't know how to stop it. And I wonder if he's maybe fighting some of that. That's what it sounds like from that first paragraph to me. So I don't know. Any insight there on breaking that cycle? And is this just purely another answer of, well, this is what therapy is for. They're going to have exercises and methods and all that.
Right. So de-stressing is a huge component to that, like learning how to manage your stress and learning how to fully relax. So when someone's listening to this right now thinking, I haven't relaxed in years.
Yeah.
And it's very possible to not fully have relaxed in years. And the body doesn't do well, obviously. It creates ulcers. It creates, you know, weird imbalances in your stomach acid. It creates heartburn. It creates rashes. It causes, I mean, the list goes on and on of the physical symptoms of stress and ultimately, you know, heart disease and death and all that crazy versions of stuff over long periods of time. But here's where I think people get a little slowed down in treating the core stress of it all is that the medical is this thing we're familiar with. We're familiar with saying, oh, I got this pain in my stomach and then the acid goes up and then you get into the medical system of, okay, we'll try this and try this. And maybe you should relax more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you had 17 seconds with that doctor. So they're gone. And you're like, yeah, I should relax more. What does that even mean? And watching TV is not relaxing.
No.
In the sense of what you think is relaxing. If you have chronic stress and all sorts of problems, you actually, that isn't what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's way more to it than that. And usually it's quieting your mind. And he's got anxiety, which means his mind's probably never quiet.
You could watch that painter guy. He's relaxing.
Bob Ross.
Yeah, he'll chill you out pretty good. But like, if you're going to go watch the last five episodes of Legion, I got bad news for you. It's going to add to your stress. It's not going to help.
Right. And there is, it's entertaining and it's a break and it's something. So it's not that it's bad. It's just, if that's what you think is relaxation, then you don't really know what it is. Mm-hmm. And even so part of it is the anxiety for real is for him to empty his mind enough for his body to stop producing cortisol, for his body to stop holding his breath and being tense.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing he's probably not experienced in a while. And then all the benefits that can come from that, if that should be our kind of mostly regular life, or at least a portion of our day should be more de-stressed. But the reality for most people, a lot of people, it is relaxation is a small, small part of their day if they get it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has a consequence. There are people around you that will always seem to be fine, or they don't seem stressed out, or they're fine. But he has established there's a family history here. So there's sort of a biological component that puts him at risk, as well as the reality is I don't know if the people around him have gotten good treatment,
mm-hmm.
or have learned skills themselves. It's one of the things I'd like to do when I meet with parents is they have anxiety or depression. I teach them all the skills that they need, and let's, you know, try this and this and this and this. Okay, now here's how you help your kid learn this. Because mm-hmm. if you imagine at 9 or 10 learning these skills, what a difference that makes over a lifetime rather than learning them at 30 or 40.
Yeah. No, you always talk about this too, this idea that some of these people are just glimpsing these things at age, you know, 40, 42. Mm-hmm. And that's, how can that be easy? How can that ever be easy?
It's
ever?
Not.
You've already developed
it's
ruts.
No.
Yeah.
And bad habits. And
yeah. You're locked in, man. Like you're
but
already,
not see, but that's just it. There is hope. It's just harder.
Harder hope. Yeah. So, harder to do.
I'm learning Swedish at 40,000 years old, and my kids are learning it at 4.
Right.
And they don't even have to try. And I'm like, bleh, you know, and that's the difference. So you just have to work harder, and it is possible. Absolutely, it's possible.
Yeah.
It's just not natural like it is when you're younger to switch directions. So, you know, I think there's a lot of anxious kids today. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if some skills could be handed down, I think a lot of skills could be handed down, like financial manners. I'm still stuck on that. We should start something.
Yeah.
Teach kids about finances.
Yeah. That's finances weird. Are, I don't know. No one ever seems to quite get that down. I don't know what the deal is. It's the eternal problem. Can it be fixed? Maybe our history shows it can't be. Maybe there's just no way.
But has anyone ever made a concerted effort?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe not.
And this is speaking for America. I don't know. Other places probably are like, yes, we all do it fine. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it seems like such an important basic thing. And now we're side railed. Look at you. I am on every other track.
I like it. No, this is good. These are all good tracks, though. Tracks for...
Sorry, Australia.
It's fine. They have their own problems.
One last thing for him. Just encourage you. Like, just... keep going, figure yourself out. Mm-hmm. Like that is one of the things that is hard. We are supposed to figure ourselves out as teenagers and young adults, but some of us don't. And we kind of push it away and just plow in and do whatever. And then we got to do that hard work later on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you need? What is healthy for you? What, you know, and treatment may be a regular part of that. It may be a couple visits, 6 or 10, and you got all your skills and you're good and peace out. Right. Mm-hmm. Or it's a regular maintenance thing. There are people who need regular physical therapy or a massage, or they need to go meditate in a cave once a year. You know, what is the thing? What are the things that you need to be good to yourself and treat yourself well so that you can get better and stay better? Mm-hmm. And that's a tricky one when we're not used to that concept that, you know, we're all a little like, oh, that's selfish. Well, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it selfish to like burn out and make everyone suffer after you can't fix it, right? Versus early on getting what you need.
Earlier the better, and never feel like it's too late.
Yeah.
I think that's the trick.
That's the t-shirt for you.
It's like taxes, you know, get that stuff in. You can never do it too early.
Get that stuff in.
This is, do you know what I was going to say?
I do.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody. Good stuff, Wendy, as always. TherapyThursdays.com is where that particular question was submitted. You can submit them anytime. So go there. TherapyThursdays, that's plural, .com. and do it. And also Wendy Dunford on Instagram. Wendy, anything else you'd like to mention?
No. Happy spring.
Yeah. It's getting warmer. We got some rain. I'm going to Vegas. It's all
Yeah, why are you going to Vegas? What's
just for fun, for? Kim and I. Get out of here for a while. Go take a week.
Because you're a gambling addict.
Yeah, that's what her mom thinks.
You've nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. I'm going to see Brian for a day there. He's going on like a 24-hour, 36-hour up all night kind of.
Vegas binge.
Vegas binge. And
no hotel room.
Yeah.
28 hours.
Not Kim and I. Kim and I have a hotel room and a place to crash, Brian, if you need it. If you break down, you can just lay on this couch.
Oh, I've got
three rooms. I want Brian in like a little nest that you guys make at the edge of the bed. I think that'd be sick.
Yes. You could just curl up in it fetal style. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, at your feet. That's perfect.
I love it. It would keep warm. It'll be perfect. You can breathe on my feet. Wendy, always fun, always good. Say hi to the kids and Adam, and we will talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye now. All right. Well, thus ends another fine podcast in the vein of TMS, but I do have a couple of announcements, or one big announcement. Not really a big announcement, just an announcement. It's not really big. It's just kind of a thing to say, so I'm going to say it. You ready? Here you go.
Yeah, I'm ready. Please.
Carter's Art Show is on Friday. If you're a local Salt Lake City resident and you want to come see some cool free art, it's at the Day Riverside Branch Library. It's a city library in the Rose Park area of Salt Lake City, a little bit north. It's open to the public. It starts at 10 o'clock Friday, tomorrow. And I'll be there. Kim will be there. All the kids will be there. And Carter is showing off a bunch of robot-themed art, and we're just excited that she's doing it. So if you're around, feel free. You're totally welcome. It's open to anybody who wants to come see it. And it's going to be open for a period of time, so it's not like you have to come Friday. But if you want to say hi, and I may bring some freebies or something, some stuff to give out or whatever, please do. Feel free. Again, that is the Day Riverside Branch Library tomorrow. There in Salt Lake City for any locals who want to see it. All right. Tonight, during the PM edition of the show, we will pick our winners. Also, don't forget, AskTMS is the hashtag to use for the AskTMS Twitter questions. We will have those later today as well. And
save yourself some characters. You don't need at Scott Johnson or at Coverville. You just put AskTMS. That's all you need to do and ask your question.
Yeah, you don't have to have any at anything on it.
That's right. We just saved you 18 or 20 characters of your 140.
Yeah. And
even more than that.
And Ask Toilet Monkey Steve is no longer on Twitter, so we're not getting conflictions with his Ask TMS.
Thank goodness, because Toilet Monkey Steve kept answering our questions and getting them wrong.
Oh, he's the worst. Yeah. So that's later today. We'll also be reviewing apps today, so that'll be fun. Lots of stuff. 3:30 p.m. That's because you guys support us at patreon.com/TMS. Big thanks to everybody who has. Hoping for a good April. And if you haven't done it, there's still time. You have a day. You can go down there and you can sign up for, I don't know, $1. Imagine all the content for $1. It's like a few cents an episode or some ridiculous amount.
Something silly. Right, exactly.
Silly. It's absolutely silly what we've done to ourselves.
Give us some silly money.
Yeah, give us the silly money. That's right.
Already a patron.
And those who have, a huge thanks from us from the bottom of our hearts. For all other things you might need to know, contact details, everything, frogpants.com/TMS. Brian?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. You have a thing?
Okay.
You got a deal there? What do you
got
there?
I have a song Will wrote in. Will Usherwood said, "Hey, Scoot and Bri-Bri, just a huge thank you to you guys for keeping me sane. I've listened since the ELR days, but especially lately, you guys are the highlight of my day. After 6 months of enduring the most thankless job ever, today marks the day where I leave it all behind and return to my one true calling, driving a taxi." Smiley face. "I can't wait to get behind the wheel again and share the world of TMS with unsuspecting passengers once more. You guys bring a lot of joy and companionship to what can be a lonely life. My wholehearted thanks to you both. As for requests, who doesn't like Grease? Lay it on me, Mr. Coverville."
I love Grease.
Yeah, so he wants anything from Grease, any covers of songs from Grease. Well, number one, congratulations, and you'll have to let us know the taxi thing if you hear people, you know, people commenting about listening to TMS while they're getting a ride to the Inta Juice or whatever. Let us know what kind of fun stories you hear. How about this one? It is it's the final song in the movie. I take that back, because the movie ends with "We Go Together." But the one right before that, where they're dancing as they go through the funhouse, yes, it's "You're the One That I Want." This one performed by the French jazz swing group Pink Turtle from their album A La Mode from 2012. It's a cover of You're the One That I Want. Here's Pink Turtle.
All right. We'll see you guys tonight. So come on back, will you? See you then.
I got chills. They're multiplying. And I'm losing control. Cause the power you're supplying, it's electrifying. You better shape up, cause I need a woman, and my heart is set on you. You better shape up, you better understand, to my heart I must be true. You're the one I want. Why did I want? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Why did I want? Ooh, ooh, ooh. I want a need. Oh, yes, indeed. If you're filled with affection, you're too shy to convey. Meditate in my direction. I better shape up, cause you need a man who can keep you satisfied. I better shape up, I'm gonna prove that your faith is justified. You're the one that I want. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The one that I want. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The one that I want. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, what I need. Oh yes indeed.
Of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.
Stopping trains is my specialty.
Great.